we continue our series. John and Zach and I are teaching and preaching through together on Philippians 4. We're going to come to verse 7 this morning, focusing on what the scriptures say about the peace of God. Before we consider that in some detail, I'm going to read, I'm going to cheat, you don't have this in your bulletin insert, I'm going to read Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, so that we have the context in mind, you can give your attention to it. We will be considering verse 7 as the focus this morning. Hear the word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The grass withers, flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. How many of you really love conflict? Do you just love getting in fights with your spouse? Or you, brothers and sisters, do you just love when your brothers and sisters steal your toys and take them for themselves? Do you get really excited and comforted when you turn on the news? I don't even have to elaborate the news about what. You understand what I mean. I suspect that none of you do. Conflict is not something that any of us get excited about. I remember when I was in high school, I would go over very frequently to one of my best friend's houses, and I always hoped that that their parents were not home, because if they were home, we were going to be trying to go somewhere where we couldn't hear the shouting match. It was deeply unsettling and uncomfortable. Conflict is something that we all instinctively run from. And if you misunderstand the gospel, if you misunderstand Christ, you might be tempted to run from the Lord as well. But the good news of the gospel that is proclaimed to you through the scriptures is that God is the God not of conflict, but the God of peace. That God is a peace-making God. And he comes to you, and in Christ, he makes peace with you by his own action. He is described as the God of peace here in verse 9. You remember the words that you hear every Sunday in worship here, words that a bunch of pastors don't just get together to make up because they sound nice and pleasant, but words that are drawn from the scriptures themselves. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Much of our life gets embroiled in conflicts, conflicts that we don't want, sometimes conflicts that we contribute to causing with our own sin. But God comes to you and says, grace and peace. That as you look to Jesus by faith, you have the assurance that God has made peace with you. He has forgiven your sins. And he has given to you the promise of resurrection life and an inheritance in a new creation where you will not be afflicted by any conflicts anymore. God has made peace. God is making peace. peace with you in his Son, Jesus. And in verse 7 here in Philippians, we see that this peace is promised to you and that you are called to respond by resting in that peace of God that he gives to you in his Son, Jesus. It's an invitation for you not to run away from God, not to be afraid of him, as if God is going to be angry with you for your sins, but it is an invitation for you to come to Christ, to be captivated with the gospel of peace that flows from the God of peace, the God who in Christ is not angry with you, is not going to treat you harshly, is never going to turn you away, but who is leading you beside still waters unto resurrection life. I want us to consider this verse in this dual form of the promise of God's peace, that you are to know the reality of God's peace that he gives to you. And second, that you are to let that peace guard or even take you captive. In other words, to receive God's peace and to rest in it. But first, we must know it. And it is certainly true on the one hand that there is a promise being made here in verse 7 that as you make your requests known to God, as you trust in God, right, the previous verse there in verse 6, that as you trust God, God will give you peace in those things. That's certainly true, but that's not the limit of the scope of this verse. There is a promise being made here to you in Christ that the reality of God's peace is something in which you live. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, what is the peace of God? The peace of God is the full reality of your restored relationship to God, which you have in Christ. It certainly involves things like your justification, that God has forgiven your sins because Christ atoned for them on the cross. But it is even broader than that. It's not limited in scope merely to forgiveness. It is a fully restored relationship which God has made with you through his Son, Jesus. You who, each one of you, have been created to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, God has accomplished this. God has restored you to himself, making you, in Christ, his beloved children. The peace of God is described here as surpassing understanding, but that doesn't mean that we can't understand it. The peace of God here is not being spoken of as something that you can't know or experience. It's not being spoken of as something that you can't understand or comprehend. It's being spoken of as something that you can know and understand in Christ, and yet you cannot exhaustively know it. That it is something which is too good and wonderful to ever fully comprehend. The peace of God which surpasses understanding, greater than any human tranquility or peace or comfort. You can think of times in your life when you are at peace, the house is clean, you're sitting down with a cup of coffee, no one's bothering you for things, no one is sending you emails or texts asking you to do things. Life at peace. We get little tastes of what peace is. They're nothing compared to what you have in Christ. The peace of God, which is yours in Christ Jesus, and the scriptures are very clear here in verse 7 and all over that this is only in Christ Jesus. This is unique Christian peace. It's greater than any brief moments of peace than you can ever experience here in this life. It is the full peace of God, that he is not angry with you. He's done away with all of your sins. He has nothing but love for you when he looks at you. even though you continue to sin because the corruption in our nature remains until glory, God is not mad at you. You're not in for some severe discipline when Jesus returns. It's not grumpy dad coming home from work to give you a spanking. That's not who God is. He's the God who has made peace with you. And you see this in Christ Jesus, that he has crucified your sins with Christ. That he has opened up the dividing wall, the temple curtain torn in two, that dividing wall of hostility, not only between Jew and Gentile that Paul speaks of in Ephesians, but also the dividing wall of hostility between you and God. It's been torn down. And you have access to the God of heaven and earth as your heavenly Father. You have the Spirit of Christ indwelling you, by which you are enabled to see your sins and to turn from them, to go to the Lord Jesus and find repentance. And the same Spirit who gives you strength to persevere through trials. You live a life in peace with God. And that's important to remember, because those moments that feel peaceful in our life, they're fleeting. Maybe you wake up in the morning and have a peaceful cup of coffee, but then you have to go to work. And it's not peaceful. And it's all kinds of conflicts and problems to solve and things that need to be done. Our experience of life is very rarely peaceful, and it makes it all the more important, brothers and sisters, that you remember the reality in which you live and stand, that you live in a reality of peace with God. You remember the words of Isaiah that we read earlier, how the kingdom of the Lord Jesus would be a kingdom of peace. Of the increase of peace, there would be no end. And you see this as you look to Jesus crucified and risen from the dead. You see that atonement for your sins has been made. And as you see that Jesus has risen from the dead, you know that he is who he says he is. He's the Son of God, the King of Kings. He's ruling over all things. And he will come back. And when he comes back, it's to usher in peace for you. It will be judgment on his enemies, those who are outside of Christ, those who reject the gospel. For them, it will not be peace. But for you who have turned to Jesus for refuge by faith, it will be peace. The image that is used in Revelation, for example, is the image of the glassy sea, still waters. Nothing disturbing you. That's yours in Christ. That is your relationship with God. Is this something that you remember in the tumult and the toil and the trials of this life? When you are engaged in all kinds of things that are not peaceful? When people are not being peaceable to you? Do you remember the gospel of peace, the God of peace, who has made peace with you? Do you find yourself constantly agitated or anxious or worried? In those moments, you are almost certainly forgetting, brothers and sisters, the work and the grace of God to you, that God has come to you and proclaimed peace. And God has done more than proclaim it. He has accomplished it. And as you look to Jesus, and as you remember the peace of God, God promises that this will have an effect on you. That this is not just abstract philosophy. You see that Paul here says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A few things of note here to dwell on. First, the word here that in the ESV gets translated to guard your hearts and your minds, it almost has the sense of holding your heart and your mind captive. This word gets used elsewhere of literal prisoners being held captive. The image is one of the peace of God not only guarding your heart and your mind so that external forces can't affect you, but also so that your mind and your heart are so held captive by the peace of God that you aren't going to break out into some form of unbelief. The peace of God will guard you. It will hold you. Your heart and your mind. And your heart, you remember in the Bible, heart is not simply your emotions. The heart is it's the center of your being, if you will. It includes your thoughts, your desires, everything that makes you, you. It is far more than just your emotions and your feelings. Paul here is saying that the peace of God will guard you in your entire being, the core of who you are, the things that you think, the things that you desire. The peace of God will guard you in Christ Jesus. It provides an anchor for you in the midst of a life that is often anything but peaceful, to remember the work of Christ, to remember the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, to remember that God is a peacemaking God. He has forgiven your sins. And though we often try to still rebel against Him, we try to restart the war that God Himself has ended as we sin and as we rebel, as we disbelieve, God never returns to war with you, His people. I wonder how many of you struggle, as I do, to believe that when it feels as if God is displeased with you. And that happens. The natural read of God's providence is usually, when things don't go well for me, it means God's unhappy with me. If my relationships fall apart, it means God's unhappy with me. If I get really sick, or if someone I love gets really injured, God must be unhappy with me right now. If I lose my job, God must be unhappy with me. You see, that's always a wrong response to the Lord. It's not who God is. And He's telling you that right here from His Word. He's the God of peace. He's not in conflict with you. He was before Christ, before you came to faith. But as you are in Christ, there is no more warfare between you and God. You stand in the most perfectly peaceable relationship that you can imagine. More peaceful than the best human friendship, the best marriage, the best companionship that you can possibly conceive of. Your relationship to God is more peaceful. It is more secure than that. Let that be your anchor, brothers and sisters. Let that guard and captivate your heart and your mind. God has done away with your sin. And God is powerful enough to do what He says. He promises you that He will raise you up on the last day. He promises you a bright and a glorious and a joyful future. We don't know everything that we will be doing in the new creation. We like to talk about how it's an eternal worship service, but it's a poor analogy because who wants to be in church eternally? No one wants that. But the picture that God gives to you is that in Christ He's made peace. You are at peace. Nothing can shake you. There's no way for the devil or for any powers in this world to somehow shake you out of the secure and loving arms of your Savior. And He's leading you to a land that we don't yet fully see in the new creation, but we see Jesus risen from the dead. And we know that's where I'm going to. Brothers and sisters, God is the God of peace. This is yours in Christ. He is not leading you into the wilderness to die. He's not doing that. He is leading you to Himself because He loves you. You see that He loves you in Jesus. He's made peace with you. Your sins are all dealt with, even the sins that you haven't yet committed. The sins that you're going to commit in 3 months from now, they're dealt with. God's not going to be angry at you. You shouldn't sin, by the way. It won't bring you any good thing. It will feel like death in the end. But God's not angry with you. It's been dealt with. Jesus died. The price was paid. And God is leading you to peaceful pastures, to the glassy sea, where you are undisturbed and unaffected. As you consider these things, I invite you also to consider how you respond yourself. The scriptures are very clear that as you know that God is the God of peace, and as you allow that peace to soak your heart and your mind, even in the midst of turmoil, that then that peace will be expressed outwardly. You will be peaceable with your neighbor because you see that God has made peace with you. You will become a peacemaker because how could you do anything else? God has made peace with you. You who were a rebel, an insurrectionist against the King of Kings, He made peace with you at cost of His Son. How can we but make peace with those in our families, those in our workplaces, those in our neighborhoods, those in our church, who sin, who disagree, who think differently, who live differently, who look different than us, who act different than us, who speak differently than us? We see all around us that the unbelieving response to these kinds of things is to cause division and fights and quarrels. This is not the way of Christ. This is not the way of the Christian. Because this is not who God is. God is not in the business of dividing everything up. He's in the business of uniting everything in His Son, the Lord Jesus. And so, brothers and sisters, as you consider Christ, I invite you not only to rest in the peace that God has made with you, but I exhort you also, so far as it depends on you, to live peaceably with others, to bear with the sins and failings of those around you, to put away your anger and your wrath in your families when people disappoint you, when people sin against you. The Lord has put away His anger and His wrath against you. And no one will ever do whatever awful, evil, wicked things other men and women might do to you. It will never be worse than what any one of us has done to the Lord. And the Lord has made peace with you out of that. You think of the deepest hurts that you have suffered. It's not worse than what God has done, than what you have done to God. And praise the Lord that God is not like any one of us. If God were like us at all, we would all be dead. But God is not a God like us. He is a God of mercy and grace and peace. And He does not treat you according to your sins. Let us be a people who not only receive that, but who also express it to others. And let us not treat one another according to our sins either. Brothers and sisters, this is God's promise and character to you. He is the God of peace. He has nothing but love for you in Christ Jesus. Do not run from Him. Run to Him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You that indeed You are a God whose ways are higher than our ways, whose thoughts are not our thoughts. For Lord, we know that none of us would have made peace with our enemies, and yet You, Lord, have made peace with us who were Your enemies. That we who rejected You, who rejected Your authority over us, who in so many ways have decided that we are really our own authority, we can do what we want without thought of God. Lord, we praise You that You have made peace with us. That rather than punish us for our sins, you sent the Lord Jesus, who came, though he was the King of Kings, not as a king to be served, but as a king to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we thank you, Lord, that we look to Jesus crucified and risen from the dead, and we have this sure hope that you have made peace with us. That you have restored us to yourself. And we ask, Lord, that we would remember these things in the midst of a life that is often anything but peaceful. That we would remember that the truth of the gospel depends not on our circumstance, but on the work and the promise of God, which you have given to us in Christ. And we ask, Lord, that as we see that you have made peace with us, that you would give to us not only confidence in this, but that you would give us peaceful hearts as well as we relate to those in our families, those in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our schools, our church, who often sin against us, even in very hurtful ways. We ask, Lord, that you would make us a peaceful people because you have made peace with us in Christ. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.